Hello, good morning.
Morning.
Good morning, Miss Ellis.
Yes, sir.
I'm calling to ask Minister Duguid if he could shed some light on when tenants will be getting this refund that he says you will be getting for Christmas. I called housing. They put me through the legal, and I spoke to someone there, and the lady put that in front of my ears. So up to now, I haven't got any information of when you will receive this money back from housing.
What money was this?
The refund, the money that tenants paid in for the units.
Okay.
The minister came last year, December, and told you we would get it back before Christmas. Well, I taken my documents and different things, other tenants taking theirs, and up to now, you ain't hearing nothing of when you would receive it. Then you ain't receive it for Christmas. It's true, you didn't say which Christmas. It might be Christmas 2025.
Okay, well, the government has to spell out exactly how it is going to go about that, because there will be a lot of people like you who are anxious to get the money, which has been promised, okay? Thank you very much. Hello. Down to brass tacks.
Hello.
Yes, good morning.
Morning, sir. How are you today?
I'm well.
Well, I'm glad to hear the good news. However, my taking is the same COVID. I think that the government never really caught the ball. They was hoping that it would go overhead and missed us all. And the decision that I recognize that they've been making have been very ad hoc. Paying the facilities, paying the hotel. I think there's a hotel I'm raising that they can bring it back too. That'd be a good one. But it worries me that government could just off the cuff do something like this. In that, how do they take care of their own? I mean, other countries recognize what was happening, but we lay bare and say, bring them all. We have 100,000 testing kits, 35 weeks of cover. But the unfortunate thing, those testing kits are made in the same country, and they are overwhelmed. Lots of people are dying or have died. What makes government think that we are different? Isn't that funny? I think so. I really, really think so. I could understand Leslie saying it's a good gesture because he would take a bullet for the Prime Minister. But unfortunately, all of us can't. All of us can't. And these are the things that we need to look at. The bus call was never the super spreader. They only had 14 cases from there. And the government up to now have not identified the super spreader. Just here the West Coast. I believe the bus call were locals. So the one in the West Coast. Let be a combination. Okay, thanks very much.
All right, thank you very much. I mean, this is your opportunity as, you know, members of the public to feedback on the issues as you see them. You know, there's no one position on any of these things. You know, there will be people who would say to you, look, in all these circumstances, the government is under tremendous pressure. It's trying its best. And there are other people who say, but these decisions don't appear to be well thought out. We have too many situations where things are being introduced and then, you know, you have to backtrack on them and try to correct them and that sort of thing. So you're going to have to grapple with all these shades of opinion on these matters. This kind of forum is important so that those who are in decision-making positions can hear how people feel and what they're saying and to support what people may be saying elsewhere as well. So let's hear your views today. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air, 4341790. This person says that I would just like to say something brief. I'm not sure that others will agree. They are saying, as it relates to the job that the government is doing, that I would give them props if the cases weren't so high. Oh, some of you, when you write stuff and send it here, you need to go on
Sammy, and check
what's written, because sometimes, you know, it is very difficult for the moderators to make head cat or tail about what you're saying. And we can't even risk doing what I just did, which is to try to read it cold. You got to go through it and check it to make sure that whether it makes sense or not. So just once you write it, look over it to make sure that it makes sense. Because part of the difficulty you also face with it is many times it has no punctuation and it just rolls from one into the next. So help us as best as you can, all right? Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hello.
Yes, welcome.
Blessed morning to everyone. I think people should really study. Well, some may be able to do so. What is to be in a leadership position? And with this COVID, it was like, it is a learning process. Even the scientists ain't sure where it was going. So therefore, when the lady said Miss Motley's ad hoc, almost every leader is ad hoc in some aspect of this COVID. It's a learning process. We are learning. I mean, like, okay, what's the next best thing? Shut down country? Are we willing to suffer the consequences? Are we going to cry out and say we can't get this and can't get that and all kinds of stuff? Are we going to have faith and delve into what we know, like how the old people would take flour and make bakes when you can't get rice? Are we willing to go that far? We should be, if we're going to say shut down the country. So it is one thing to criticize and banter about and put all kinds of issues out there. The younger people who don't know the survival mode wouldn't understand. So are we willing to do things to keep the country going? Do they understand that the Prime Minister still have, I'm not a political person, but I try to be fair. Do they understand the Prime Minister still has to be paying out pensions? Things still have to be running fairly well? Are we willing to line up and go back to the soup kitchens, like in America, the great one, the great richest country in the world, people have to go to soup kitchens to get food? Are we going to pull down the Prime Minister if they get to that stage? So they're trying. I think they're trying the best. The tourists that are saying that they want back the money, I think I heard Miss, the young lady, Miss of Tourism, who's her name again? Lisa Cummings. She said, the way she spoke, it was like, in the future, they will give them a return ticket. So anybody that is refusing to pay now, they're just being disgusting. If you're there?
Yes, I am.
If I find with some tourists, a lady was telling me I used to work at a restaurant, if the slightest thing go around, they don't want to pay. If you bring a bottle of wine to them, if it's too hot, it's too cold, when they don't want to pay, when they don't drink it. You understand? Some are very disgusting. So the money back for them, they need to pay up the hotels their money, and when they're ready to leave, they will get some kind of reimbursement. But it's not to be no. It wasn't said that it's going to happen, no. So let me try to help the government and stop pulling it down. So many other persons and countries are going to hell with this thing. And I think we are living good. I thank God for this the way they have been running it. One more thing, right?
Yes.
The riots in America. Are you surprised?
No, I thought that was what Donald Trump was aiming to do for quite some time. Even before the election, he was, in my judgment, setting the stage for exactly what is playing out now.
But I'm even going further back than Donald Trump. This is like a pressure cooker that was cooking for 400 years. Or a volcano that was building up for 400 years. And to go relate to the pressure cooker. If you put too much in the pressure cooker, you know it's still overflow, although it got that seal. So too much has been piled on year after year.
Too much like what?
Decade after decade.
What are you talking
inequality,
about?
Inequality.
Seriously, ma'am, mm-hmm. you are really linking this bad behavior that took place last week to inequality?
Listen to me.
I got nothing to do with inequality.
A history documentary, which says that that the southern states never ever accepted the fact that they had to end slavery. They never ever. Are you see the guy in the middle?
Well,
of
if I were to believe
with you, that flag, with that,
if I were to take you seriously, it would mean that I would have seen many, many blacks and Latinos among the mob that.
Listen to me, David.
Breached security and went into
for
the Congress.
Listen, the guy just said,
I don't accept
said
you.
And,
I don't accept
you. Listen to me 2 minutes. No? The guy, sorry about that. Listen, please listen. The gentleman, right? You're there?
I'm here.
The gentleman that said that if it was a black people going up there with a shooting down, yes, that is true. But he, does he know that black, a few black were scattered? Chinese, Indians. Do you know that there were other people scattered in that group as well?
Ma'am, I want to tell you that as far as I'm concerned, that was white supremacy.
Yeah,
that had nothing to do with no inequality.
It was white,
that was white supremacy.
But what I'm saying, from way back, they never accepted the fact. This is what the documentary was saying, that blacks were freed, and therefore, that's why they had all the ornaments, the statues and things for years. Right? And then when they had to be taken down, all of that has in their heart has mustered up. And they are furious. But you know what is our problem as human beings? We need the Lord Jesus Christ. And people have taken that name and use it for their own advancement. And he said, everyone who say, Lord, Lord, is not with me. But honestly, we all, as human beings, need the Lord, or we are going to destroy each other and this planet. And if people in authority do not understand that, where are we going? God's still on the throne. He is on the throne and he's watching. But we who love, we need to love and to really understand what love is and stop being greedy and wicked and evil. It will get us nowhere.
Okay, ma'am.
And
thank
I thank
you.
You.
Thank you. This person says that they're working on the West Coast in one of the luxury villas. The house has 4 residents. They say that these residents smoke and cough constantly. They're the only one who they insist should wear a mask. The way that this is put together, at the end of the day, the writer is suggesting that they were informed that somebody next door is in quarantine. They saw people coming and going. So this piece is unsubstantiated. But what comes through here is the worker is scared. They don't know exactly what is happening around them. There's the hearsay, and there's the, as long as somebody is coughing constantly, they're linking this to you know what. And effectively, as a worker in a villa, what I pick from this is a degree of fear about being put in that kind of situation or having to go into that situation to earn a living. And there must be so many other people out there who are in that kind of situation on the job. What is happening in Barbados right now is pretty scary. I mean, I listen to all the releases that are put out. And a few days ago, the statement was we only had, I think it was 53 or something like that. But in any case, it reflected a downward trend. And the authorities come and tell you it looks as though, you know, the situation is stabilizing. It is not as high as it was before. And then the latest statistics come out. And you see that the figures are higher for those testing positive on the last occasion than the previous one. And my only comment to all of this is, please spare me the talk and all of this stuff about projecting that, you know, it looks as though the thing has stabilized. You know what I've noticed about this particular disease? You could have it totally under control. It's certainly not under control right now. But you could bring it under control. And then one thing happens and it explodes. So one day in this environment, you get 50, but another day you could get 70. To me, it is not useful to come and give people this notion about things being stable and that sort of thing, because when the figures come out the next day and they are higher, what are the people going to say? That you misled them? Or that you don't know what's going on? So until you could really get the thing under control, it appears to me that it is safer to avoid that kind of talk. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Hello. How are
yes,
you?
Sir.
Oh,
I'm well. I'm well. I have no doubt that you and I may come wrong today, but go ahead.
That's right. Yeah, but I didn't call about this, the COVID, but on your last comment, yeah, actually, what they said about the thing was falling, it was from the last spike that we had. Because on this Friday and the Saturday, you had 211 cases. On the Sunday, the Monday, you had 86. On the Tuesday, you had 51. On Wednesday, you had 36. Friday, you had 23. But Saturday, you had 70. So, yeah, if you look at it in a general context, the numbers have been falling. It's just that the last day, you had a little upward movement. But you know what?
But let me say to you on that score, while I accept that on the basis of that trend, you still have to be cautious because of the way that this disease moves.
Well, you're cautious.
And the fact that that on Saturday you were back up to 70 is case in point.
But yeah, but you started up from 211 and you was trending downwards ever since then. Is that the last day, which is Saturday, went up to 70? Who said
you got to be I just said to you, you need to be cautious with
it. Yes,
because,
we are.
Because
I mean,
of the way that it can develop.
But I really didn't talk more COVID today, though. You know, I listened to the Prime Minister's press conference on Friday, about the same COVID update. Therefore, I was absolutely shocked when I heard the head of the VOB News during the 5:30 news bulletin stated that the headline of the news was that the alphabet shopping at supermarkets and hardware stores would commence on Sunday. Can you imagine this? There's no way in the Prime Minister's speech did she emphatically say that? No way. She would say that explicitly. And I don't know how her head of the news could come on where to, just after she made the comments, the press conference, and say that, look, he should really give the country an apology. He should apologize to Barbados.
Wait. Hold on. Hold on a minute. Did the government make a statement to the effect that we would reintroduce the alphabet system effective, I think it was yesterday.
You heard it.
Did the government make that statement?
No, they didn't. She didn't.
Let me ask you. So where did this idea about the reintroduction of the alphabet system come from?
It was implicit, not explicit.
Oh.
It was implicit, not explicit. No, she never. She said that. Look, she was talking about it. She had a meet with the stakeholders. It was never stated as a fact that it would start on Sunday. A head of the news came with the next thing, and he said that the top line news is being implemented on Sunday.
The newspaper on Saturday said this. The newspaper on Saturday interpreted it the same way. Let me speak on the matter.
You
have had your say. Let me just tell you what was reported here. Because the interpretation was the same given by the newspaper. When they said that effectively the Motley Hints of return to alphabet shopping and banking. That was the story on Saturday. And when we went into it in more detail, it said Barbadians could be seeing the return of alphabet shopping and banking by as early as tomorrow. Prime Minister Mia Motley told the country yesterday that intense discussions would be held with the private sector to determine how the special shopping system would be implemented at supermarkets, hardware stores, and commercial banks, at least until January 14th in the first instance, when the current curfew is slated to end. She said that meeting, to be held at the latest by today, Saturday that was, would also include the Barbados Association of Medical Practitioners to discuss the controversial measure, which led to some social issues when first introduced last year. Now, let me hear you.
Isn't there a difference between implicit and explicit?
The point is that there was a clear hint that it was being examined. And there was
explicit.
A specific time. I don't understand you come to rant and rave about.
No, I'm not ranting and rave. Listen, you see, I tell you, these days,
I come wrong. Awesome.
Yeah, but yeah, because that. Listen, you are quick to criticize other people, organizations, and establishments, but you're not quick to criticize yours.
I am not in the business of openly criticizing my organization. But I will say this to you: I also have to be. I need to look at what is reasonable and what is fair. The reasonable interpretation coming from what the Prime Minister said on that occasion led all of the media houses towards that interpretation. So much so that when the decision was made not to to do it, then there was a report to the effect that it was not going to happen and that there has been a lot of elation at the fact that it has been scrapped. A whole set of people. Listen, let me tell you something. On Saturday morning, if you saw the people outside PriceMart and other supermarkets in this country, because they anticipated that from Sunday, based on what the Prime Minister said, they anticipated that this system would have been reintroduced. I don't accept the criticism that you are putting on us right now. I don't accept it.
And explicit. I'm sure you know about that. Listen, the said sort of, I really didn't even call the talk about it because that was just a passing comment. I want to deal with you. Well, you might not give me the time now or get the time to deal with when you had Tony Moore in the studio, you and Mr. Thing. That's another clear example of what I'm just saying. You all try to ram Mr. Tony Moore about how the trade union movement is being run. Now, you see, it come back here now again to what I tell you earlier. You, when anybody thought about anything from Bilby, wishing is 40 calls, actually. That's what she's trying to say, too. I don't expect to call you and be critical of but really a staff member. You go along with it. But I'm just pointing out the fact that a head of the news said that. And I listened to the broadcast, and at no time did the Prime Minister state it explicitly. That it will start from Sunday. He said
well, things are not necessarily said explicitly, but they're implied as well.
Between the words.
You know that. And I think that most people in Barbados, on the basis of what was said by the Prime Minister, interpreted her to say that we are going to reintroduce it. But prior to that, she would have discussions with BAM.
So you're telling me they had a new,
and the social partnership.
The head to determine of your news
how they were going to proceed with it.
Say that to not say it is a hint.
Anyhow, let's move on. What else do you have on your mind?
You see, because we're going to talk about now, going to take up a lot of time, and I know you will not give me the time because I want to talk about the Sunday Barstow that you have with Miss Tony Moore in the studio. You and Mr. Glenn Murray, when you try, I mean, you all fail misery in that interview, and you keep questioning her about what word do you ask?
You know what? Look, let me say something to you that I must 5.0. Then it comes to the question of scrutinizing the current administration and people who make up this administration. It does not sit well with you. You have taken the position that some Dems took when the DLP was in office, and they, DLP supporters like you, would come in and criticize the Democratic Labour Party. They were the ones who would be in the strongest possible defense. They too came after us in the same way that you are doing right now. The shoe is on the other foot, and therefore we expect that anything that we do that puts the government under scrutiny will meet with your disapproval. I understand that. And therefore, I began by telling you that from the time you started this conversation, I would not have been surprised if you and I were at opposite ends. So the first order of business is to attack. And the last order of business for you is to attack. I understand that. You know, we got to live with it. But let's let people understand why. Because you feel uncomfortable when this government is put under scrutiny. Are you there? I haven't cut you off. I want to hear you.
I'm muted. I just like to say to you, when Ms. Toni Moore went into the shooter, she wasn't representing the government. So I'm not, it's not about anything to do with government. She was representing the, as the General Secretary of Barbados Workers Union. And that's my comment. So I'm not talking about the union. Then I certainly have criticized the government on both three occasions since they came into office. I would not be this be a bigot that if this government done anything that is not right, to condone them. You can never point to nothing that this government had done that was incorrect that I condone it. Show me, give me an example. Use a man as answer examples. Give me one. Show me anything that they had done wrong. Yeah. That I can't do any. I bring facts. I deal with issues. I don't deal with personalities. So I know we can't continue with this Toni Moore thing, but so probably I will call another time because it's going to take a while because I'm going to pinpoint to you and Mr. Glenn Murray that you did at least about 18 significant contributions since she was the General Secretary. That's got nothing to do with the government. That's to do with her as a General Secretary of Barbados Workers Union. So I know you're going to put me in the monkey thing about the DLP supporters. I don't deal with, I just bring information, I just got facts, right? So I say thanks for the thing because I know you ain't got enough time to present what you want to present.